Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2008. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner, located at booth 101 on the Java 1 Pavilion floor, including mini-talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities. Welcome back to the Java.net Community Corner. It is 3:30 on Thursday, and our next talk is Adam Bean, once again, with energy and CO2 savings with Java EE5, SE6, Glassfish, Shoal, Groovy, Sunspot, and Java FX Project Greenfire.
Okay, hello. My name is Adam Bean. I would like to introduce our open source project called Greenfire. It's available from greenfire.dev.java.net. About me, I have nothing to do with heating systems and heating controls. I am a consultant working with Java E5 and working with Java since JDK 1.0. And in my free time, I'm expert group member in Java E6, EGB 3.1, JPA 2.0. And yeah, on my vacations, my vacations I spend, for instance, on Java 1. So what's Greenfire and why I did it? So basically, I got a new heating control. And I observe it a little bit, and it behaves somehow strange. The problem is most of heating controls are timer-driven. There is just a basic timer service which schedules the heating, the main heating, and in case whether sun shines or not, you have the same effect. So on a certain time, the main heating will be turned on, the main buffer will be heated, and energy is lost. So actually, I started to observe this thing. And what do you have to know? It is only worth to use Greenfire in case you have something like solar panels or solar collectors. Otherwise, I think it is not worth. So what is solar heating? So solar heating is actually the usage of solar energy to heat your home, basically. And there are solar collectors and solar panels. And the distinction is the one is good for heating. It heats the water, and another one is good for the energy and makes power. You have to know as well, I'm from Bavaria. So we have strong winters with minus degrees. It's a different story here in California. But in Germany, it is really a mission control system, a mission critical system. So in case it fails, in winter, I'm in trouble. So I'm not living alone in my home, so that's the problem. So modern heating systems use buffers or thermers to buffer the to store the solar energy in between. And actually, the buffer is the brain or the control system as well. So dependent on the temperature in the buffer, the main heating is turned on, the solar collectors are turned off. So you can consider this the buffer or thermos as the central piece of the system. And what I understood so far is in the buffer temperature gets too high, solar panels or solar collectors will be turned off. In case it is too low, the main heating will be turned on. So this is the basic control, what happens. So actually, my heating has only a timer-driven approach. So what we can do, we can say, I would like to have hot water on 5 p.m., and it turns on at, I don't know, 3 p.m., the main heating, and tries to achieve a certain temperature. The problem, so it works fine, except you have solar panels and good weather. So if you have solar panels, what happens then? Let's say at 3 p.m., the temperature is about 30 degrees, and at 5 p.m. has to get, I don't know, 60 or 50 degrees, then the timer service or the timer will set on the main heating regardless whether the sun shines or not. So actually, it hits the buffer, so the solar power cannot be leveraged anymore in a certain extent. So it would be much better just to wait and hope that until 5 p.m. The water is hot enough. And actually, it works really well. So you can tune the system, and in my case, it works either with database and Groovy as a script. So you can every 5 minutes replace the whole algorithm in case you did a mistake. It's basically how it works. So you have the main heating here in the upper corner. You have the solar collectors as well. and you have heating in your house. And this guy here in the middle is the central unit, something like CPU, you can imagine. So, yeah, and the problem is, if the sun shines, I think that the timer control is no more efficient enough or no more appropriate. So in general, it would be better to wait. And in other case, if you have a wood-burning stove and you would like in the evening just enjoy the fire, the problem is the temperature in the thermos gets too hot, and then it sets off all security stuff, and the energy is lost. So what you can actually do, you can turn off the heating in winter in your house to cool the buffer, for instance, and leverage the energy. What happens, for instance, in autumn or spring, if you have enough energy in the buffer, what happens then? The main system turns the solar collectors off. So this energy is lost as well. So what I do in this case, I just turn off the heating in the house, for instance, in the basement, and leverage the energy to store it in case the next day will be colder than current day. And this works pretty well as well. So it runs for about 3 years, and the energy savings are about 10 to 50%. So it's really considerable amount of energy, and the algorithm is really, really simple. So this is if else statement. So this one is just got sick because of green fire, I hope now. So funny story. The actual name of green fire should be sunfire, but for obvious reason, I just decided to use green fire. So, but sunfire would be the right name for this. And the next cool story is there is a weather forecast for Google. So it would actually try to predict the weather for the next day. And dependent of the prediction, you can say, okay, now cool the buffer to, I don't know, 20 degrees and hope the next time sun will shine and leverage the more the solar power energy. So I have many other ideas, but it's really surprising how much you can achieve with basic algorithms. As I saw this, I decided to open source the whole project. So what is GreenFire? It's hosted on greenfire.dev.java.net. So why java.net? Because it was the easiest way to set up the project, and it works so far great with Subversion and NetBeans, and this was the case. It's already in production since about 2 years. Energy savings, always hard to say, but about 20 to 50%. It depends on you know, cold days, hot days. It depends on the situation. And I'm located in Munich, in Bavaria. So I guess in California, if you no need heating, I think you can use it, for instance, to control air condition, perhaps, but not heating. Yeah? You could rename it then to cold fire or something like this. So, the goal is to manage the heating system in an efficient and flexible way. So what I would like to see as well, I would like to provide monitoring of my house as well, and it was surprisingly easy. So I have an RSS feed, and I can try with I can monitor my house with iPhone or our JavaFX client, which looks great. So it's very easy to get into the data. And what is possible as well, I store the external temperature, the internal temperature, and it is stored in a database so you can access to historical data over the time. So the question is how to leverage more or what you can do at the top. And it turned out that sunspots is actually a great stuff because it comes with temperature sensor as well as lightning sensor, so you can use sunspots to get more data. And I'm in process of do it now. So what I would like to do is to have some sunspots in different rooms in my house and say, okay, in case, I don't know, it's a Sunday, I'm in the living room, I do not, and sun shines, and the temperature is good enough, I can set off the main heating, for instance, very, very basic use case. So how it looks like, so now I'm able to get information about the heating mode. It is actually auto, is the default mode. You can set it to off or summer or vacations or something like this. Then the external temperature is in Celsius. In this case, are -3 degrees. And then the different areas in the buffer. So you can see we have warm water, but the water in the lower area is cold. What you can also see here is the current collector power is a solar collector, is about 1.5 kilowatts, and today's collector gain is 1, so it's not very much. So, and the same story in iPhone looks like this. There's an RSS heating news, so you can access this information with iPhone, Nokia handies, or whatever you like. And actually, the another idea was to use GlassFish clustering technology to broadcast this information inside a house. So what happens then, you can start a basic Swing JavaFX application wherever you like, and you will receive every 5 minutes the whole data with some progress bars, and it looks great and was surprisingly simple. So why clustering from GlassFish and not GMS or RMI or Genie? The one and only reason is because you do not have to specify the IP address. So you just fire up your application and you receive the data. So, and what I'm able to do as well, to monitor the last 12 hours, 2 years, or whatever you like. And what you see here is the temperature in my house, the temperature outside my house. And this is pretty interesting. You see this is the main heating. So it's warms and cools and warms and cools. And this is the solar power. So why I need this reporting tool? Just because to optimize the algorithm. So if I see the curve, I can try to optimize the algorithm. So it's really useful for fine-tuning and actually interesting. What I can do now, I can compare the day now with the day one year before and to compare the two values. So it's actually really interesting. So I think okay is not enough. Some service-oriented architecture. So what you can do now, I'm able to screen scrape home pages from different pallets providers. This is wood pallet providers, and for instance, compute the price of the pallets. Then GreenFi is able to speak. This did actually my brother. It was a free TTS, text to speech, is an open source project. So every 5 minutes, GreenFi is able to say you, okay, now it's warm or cold on external temperature, internal temperature. It's getting annoying, so my wife didn't like that, so we had to send it off, but it's possible. Even is able to recognize your speech. There is another project called Sphinx. You can say heating on, heating off, outdoor, summer, or something like this. And I'm going to integrate sunspots for house automation as well, and a webcam to provide more monitoring. It's very, very simple. So it uses Shoal behind the scenes, the Shoal, the dev.dava.net. And actually, Fish Farm is another project. It's a grid project, open source project. Why this? To distribute in very simple ways, actually only one jar, the information in my house. And another great project is Sphinx. What Sphinx does is a speech recognition in Java. It's very easy to use. So you can say, I don't know, air condition on, off, or heating on or off. So it's just fun. So what it is, Java E5, it is based on Java E5 on GlassFish. What you see here is different EGB modules. Actually, a weather forecast provider, it intercepts the data. Heating messengers sends the messages, broadcast the messages. Heating control brain is the brain. So what it does, actually, it computes whether this heating should be turned on, off, and different modes. And heating management is a simple API which allows you to control the system. And heating control RSS is just a read-only widget. GreenFi was built with patents and some esoteric technologies like TTS and Sphinx. Why that? Because I like the stuff, so I built it in. But the kernel of GreenFi is really, really simple. It took about 3 days to implement the whole stuff. It runs currently on GlassFish. I started with JBoss because it was available these days. And why GlassFish now? Because it's easier to administer. So what we can do, there is a nice web page. You can go in. You can review. You can scroll through your log files. It's much easier to use. And why JavaFX script looks great. And NetBeans came already with some nice widgets which are actually reused or even stolen. But it was very easy to provide charting or something like this. It was developed first. I started with Eclipse, and Maven, and then said, okay, I would like perhaps only to have some view modules and then use NetBeans to be able to deploy it locally as well as remotely. Why that? I test basically everything locally and then able to say, okay, in case it works, I deploy it remotely, and this is NetBeans is able to provide that. The application is basically 1 year, which consists of several EGB jar modules and some war applications, and needs one JMS topic, which is used internally, which is interesting. For instance, the heating control is accessed via serial port. So the problem is the heating system was not designed to be scalable as an application server, of course. So what I have to do is just to fetch the data every 5 minutes, put it to the queue, and on the other side, I have the web application who receives the information every 5 minutes. So if you access Greenfire over the web, there's no way to hack it because you have no direct access to the business logic. And the integration itself was built with RMI server. Why this? Because serial port comes with native code. In case it crashes, the whole application would crash as well. So, the architecture is... There's the heating itself, which comes with a serial port. The integration server exposes the and remote interface to an archiver, which receives the data, stores the data in the database first, fetches the script, which is a Groovy script. So you can decide every 5 minutes. You can change every 5 minutes the whole behavior of your system. And the configuration provider fetches the data from the database. There is a forecaster, which is responsible for weather forecast and RSS feeds, which exposes the data via RSS. And all the modules are optional. I just build them because it's fun, actually. So this brain, archive, and cache are mandatory, and everything else outside is just fun because it's very easy to do it. So every 5 minutes, what happens? So it gathers the data, heating configuration, weather forecast, external temperature, internal temperature, and the brain component is asked what to do. So here is the data. Decide now what should happen. And the decision is passed to the integration layer and executed. So it comes back to the heating and say heating on, off, or nothing happens in case the mode is fine. And all the data is stored in DerbyDB, which is actually amazing. It runs since 3 years. I started with Derby because I was lazy. But every 5 minutes, about 20 parameters are stored, and it works well so far. The size is about 20 megs now, and it works really, really well. So never crashed so far. And the data in the DerbyDB is used for reports and monitoring. And reports is another fun. So you can see, you know, the weather changes even over the year. The rules for the heating system, the decision was, why scripting? The problem with Java or Java EE, you had to redeploy the whole application to change the algorithms, which is, you know, not very good way to do it. So what I did, I said, okay, just externalize it in a scripting kernel. And in my case, it was Groovy. This was before JDK 1.6. Now I would prefer JavaScript because it comes already with Java. So now I need additional jar, Groovy jar. Okay, and the scripting component is able to download from a URL the whole script and execute it. So you can basically per FTP copy the script to a web server, and then it will be in the next 5 minutes executed in Greenfire. So and how it looks like, there is an except from the script. So actually the heating state, so it's external temperature, the temperature of the buffer and so forth, is extracted. And with only view if-else statements, the next state is computed. And it's amazing that with such simple system, you can even save a considerable amount of energy. So, lessons learned. I started with Ruby on Rails because I like it. It turned out it was not a great idea because, for instance, integration with native system. Then, these days, this was 3 years ago, there was there was no open source database. MySQL was not really open source. I didn't know that whether I can use it in is it commercial or not commercial? So I was a little bit confused. And what I did, I misspelled the table names, for instance. So in Ruby on Rails, you have to name configuration items, not configuration item. So I did I started with configuration item, of course, which took me about 2 hours to find it out. And then I rewrote everything with Java 5, and after 3 days, I got a prototype. Conclusion. Hacking Java 5 is really good for the environment, and it works really great since 3 years. And I have to refactor some things, but now it's almost everything open sourced. And to integrate your heating, you have just to change few classes, so it's not a big deal to do this. Okay, so thank you very much. Some questions?
Can you talk a bit about the thermal engineering here? What kind of collectors do you have? What storage tank do you have? What is your is that a hydronic heating system that you have there?
Yeah.
What is the temperature range of your solar collectors?
Okay. I'm not an expert.
In Fahrenheit, please.
In Fahrenheit?
Please, in Fahrenheit.
Hey, man, this is not fair. I am from Bavaria. So I can... First, I would like to show you the widget, and this is this guy. So I see now the external temperature of 14 Celsius. I see here my total collector gain, and now it's no sun in Bavaria. So this is real-time monitoring in my blog. If you go to my blog, you can monitor my house and accept from this. And this is the expert mode. Wait a minute. So you see... Before 4 minutes, this was the last update, so I can re-execute it and so forth. External temperature, 70 degrees is upper temperature, house temperature, and all the parameters. So this is what you see. The collectors, I don't know how they are called. They are pipes collectors. There are not a flat ones or with pipes.
Okay, so
the temperature...
So this would be what we call a medium temperature system. It's more than 100 degrees Fahrenheit collectors.
Yeah, I guess so. This is not a rocket science system. It's just, it's just commodity heating. This is nothing special with the system.
Okay.
This is really commodity heating system, which I hacked afterwards.
Is this something that's available here in the States, or can you only get this in Germany?
I saw it in Sao Solito, so I guess it is available.
Okay, so do you have the brand name and model number on your site that we can see?
This is a German company, so I think I will show you here, but I wouldn't like to do promoting here. It's this one. And this is my heating. But what to mention, I won 3 weeks ago an innovation award in Germany with that, and it turned out that after this, many in the audience had tried the Green Fire with another heating system, and it worked. So there's nothing special in it. So what you have to do, you have to be able to access the heating data. If you are able to do this, no problem.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Do you have any other questions for Adam? All right. Thank you very much, Adam Bean, with Project Greenfire. And that's a combination of a whole lot of very interesting open source projects. Thank you very much,
Thank you
Adam.
Very much.
And next up is our final podcast of 2008, which is Using Kepler's Orrery for Teaching Planetary Science with Malin Blake.
This has been the Java.net Community Corner Podcast. Check out more mini talks from Java 1 2008 at today.java.net/pub/ct/Java 1 Community Corner or subscribe to our feed with iTunes.